I like you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. It's book club time. All right. We are back after a little bit of a hiatus. What have we been doing?
I mean, a hiatus? It was just the holidays, baby.
It was.
Thanksgiving.
Well, it was all the lead up to the holiday.
We were in Texas. We were in North Carolina, Wilmington, checking out the old TSITP sites.
Some of them.
Honey, you sound a little stuffy.
Sorry.
Are you getting sick?
Probably. I'm actually surprised that I've gotten this long without getting sick with all the travel and everything.
Shit. We're going to push through it. Our dog's sick. You're sick.
Lots of travel. Lots of going from one place to the other. Lots of hosting.
Yo, we had my friends over. My family came over. Your family came over.
Yeah.
We got big things popping today.
I think I just need a rest and a detox.
Yeah. It's rivalry week in the college football world. Yeah, we put our Christmas tree up yesterday, too.
Oh, we did do that.
The day after Thanksgiving. That's a tradition on Friday. We go get our Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And we worked well into the night last night.
Yes.
Bringing up our Christmas boxes, putting the Christmas tree up. Real tree, always. Mm-hmm. Got the house smelling like Fraser fir, baby. Boxes everywhere still.
Oh, yeah. Boxes everywhere. We still got to do the outside.
Yeah. But it's a process.
It's a process. But that's not what these folks care about. They care about our Wilmington trip. How was Wilmington?
It was great. We met some awesome folks. We saw went to Wild
Bill's. We met Ashlyn for the first time. You guys know her from the podcast that we did with Red.
And her husband, Keith.
So we got to also experience not exactly snow at the beach, but off season
right
at the beach. It was quite nice.
It was cold. It was the locals there called it local summer because the tourists are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You can come. You know, enjoy yourself. And I think we want to buy a second place, a beach house.
Yeah, so if we buy a second place down there,
we'll rent it out to all the...
You best believe it's going to be the Summer I Turn Pretty themed.
Yeah, we'll let all the TSITP people stay there.
Yeah.
That'd be...
We'll call it Cousin's Beach.
Yeah, hon. The ideas are flowing here.
Yeah. Probably the funniest part, it was we went to go meet Ashlyn and Keith at Captain Bill's
mm-hmm.
volleyball place. We're sitting on the outside deck, and then we see two older women walk in
with Cousins Beach shirts on,
and I couldn't see them. Ashlyn could see them, and she was like, I like your shirts. It couldn't have been an accent, right? Because they were both wearing the exact same shirt. So I'm like,
they were on a tour.
They knew what they were doing. Yeah. So what did they say?
They're on a self-guided tour for their birthday.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
It was fucking awesome because also they said they went to
the college,
UNC Wilmington. But it was funny because I didn't know that one of them was Team Jeremiah. And I was like, oh, did you go to Alderman? Alderman's the name of Conrad's dorm. And her friend actually goes, she was trying to find the parking spot.
They did find the parking spot.
Did they find the parking spot?
Yeah, they took a picture there.
The exact one?
Yep.
Oh, that parking spot caused a lot of grief in season two.
So it was a really... packed week. The Cowboys won two on Thanksgiving. That was really good.
The good news about all this driving around is every so often we get to listen to what I want to listen to, which is inclusive of We'll Always Have Summer.
The audiobook, baby.
The audiobook, the third installment.
Narrated by Belly Pants herself.
Exactly.
So this time it was 13 through 18, eh?
13 through 18, stop at 19. So if you've done your homework assignment, feel free to listen on. And if you don't do your homework assignments and you just want to show up for class, that's okay too. So what
was the general summary of what happened this round?
Yeah.
They had just gotten engaged. Right.
They just gotten engaged. So Belly and Jeremiah are coming down from the high of that. And then there's a lot of flashbacks. It actually does a good job of talking about Belly's relationship with college, Belly and Taylor's relationship, how Belly met some of her new friends.
I really like that, those parts.
Yeah, there's an entire chapter dedicated to when she's moving into her dorm and how and Laurel are there.
Loved it.
And then it kind of ends with the present day, her dad coming to pick her up to, take her home. Because I'm assuming she doesn't have a car like most of us don't our first year in college. And then... some interactions with Jeremiah, and then she's back home for the summer, and she's talking to Jeremiah on the phone. They're planning the wedding, and they have a conversation a day before they're supposed to meet and tell everybody. So that's the gist. But we'll go through the chapters. We'll break it down. Thank you to everyone who sent pages and pages of questions and remarks.
She printed them. I didn't even know this existed.
I printed a lot of them. Of chapter breakdowns and thoughts and people's opinions.
JoJo Blessed in the house. Jillian Oakes in the house. I got some awesome.
It's book club, baby.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Shall we?
Rip off the band-aid, girl.
All right. So chapter 13 starts off with Belly saying that she wants to tell everyone face-to-face. So there's going to be this garden ceremony for Susanna because she was really big in volunteering and fundraising. So they planted a flower garden in her honor. That's in Cousins. That's supposed to be in a week or so. And so everybody apparently is converging on Cousins for that, including Conrad, apparently. So her and Jeremiah had made the decision to tell everybody at the same time.
On three, go. 1, 2, 3. We're getting married.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't know if that's how it's going to go. The main part of this, before we go into some other parts that happened in this very, very short, like, one-page chapter, what do you think about the idea of telling everyone all at once? Isn't that a lot of, like, undue pressure?
Well, listen, if you're...
Would you rather 20... tell everyone all at once? Like, not for you and me getting married, but, like...
If we're 36 and we're telling everyone all at once that we're having a baby, you can expect that the approval rating is going to be pretty good. I think there's a lack of self-awareness from these folks because you're 19 and you're telling everyone all at once that you're getting married. And it's like, you can't expect that it's going to be a rousing applause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like odds of like two people under 20 getting married,
right,
regardless of who they are, you're gonna have some people who are think it's a bad idea regardless if they're meant to be together or not.
Yeah. Well, okay, so do you think that they're planning on doing it all at once just to rip the band-aid off, or do you think they're doing it to avoid, because if okay, so let's say Belly does it to Laurel first, we already know how that's gonna go. Sidebar conversation, like, we gotta really talk about this, and then Belly might be a little bit more reserved at telling everyone else.
I think they just have
Or are they just very short-sighted and happy?
I think they have an alternate universe. Mm-hmm. They're too inside of it
to see.
Yeah. You know, you can't read the ingredients if you're inside the bottle. They can't see what the real temperature is. And they think it's like this great thing.
Yeah. Well, you remember the last time we did book club, there was a Conrad Christmas chapter. And it ended with Belly saying like, oh, I think I'm still in love with you. Not out loud to her.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But she says, I hadn't seen Conrad since Christmas. So it was that Christmas when she last saw him. And her and Jeremiah are kind of going back and forth on whether or not he would even show. And Belly says the reason she doesn't know if he'll show is because Conrad and her mom had developed a very close relationship since he, you know, flew off to Sanford and Susanna died. Apparently, Conrad and Laurel talk on the phone all the time, like you know, you do with your mom. Or you would do with your mom. So they're really close. And she said that Conrad.
In a maternal way or in a friend way?
In a maternal way. And Conrad was supposed to come visit for Laurel's 50th birthday. And he didn't come. And she said that her mom was really disappointed. And then Belly actually says something along the lines of like, love him all you want, but don't expect anything in return. Conrad isn't someone who can be counted on. That's what Belly's saying. Which, again, is just her. It's just her.
It's how she feels.
It's how she feels. But they're kind of giving shit to Conrad. Jeremiah says something along the lines of, like, typical Con. Like, when he didn't show up to Laurel's birthday party. Like, Jeremiah just kind of blows it off. And he's like, oh, typical Con. Which I think is a little bit unfair.
I'm sure you do think it's unfair.
But remember, you applauded Conrad because he accidentally stumbled upon Belly at Christmas. And he made the decision where he was like, okay, I'm not going to start a fireplace. And when things started to get, not necessarily heated up, but internally she said she still loved him, he probably felt things too, and then that's when he just left.
Okay.
So if that just happened, he's probably going to avoid going to her mom's 50th birthday party. He's going to see her.
But
like they're treating it like, oh, it's just typical Conrad. He always does this, as opposed to
there's a reason. If there is a reason for this one,
yeah,
there must be a track record that they're going off of in their mind where he's,
that he flakes.
Yeah, that he's done this before, like more than with the book show, certainly.
Yeah, well, in the show, he definitely does it a lot. Then the rest of the chapter is Jeremiah, I guess he's on a bench in at the college, and he's outside, and he stands up on the bench, and he says, Belly Conklin is going to marry me, everyone. And she's kind of embarrassed. And she's like, get down from there. And he's like flapping his arms and flying around like an airplane, like kind of happy. And he like makes her flap her arms too. So it's cute.
Kind of cute. I can see that in a TV show. I can see, I can visualize it.
Yeah, some like upbeat pop song.
It'll be season three, bro.
Playing in the back. Now, somebody who wrote in wanted us to break that down a little bit. Because inside of one very short chapter, right? Or short series of chapters. I'm going to read a couple of things to you that Jillian actually brought up. Quotes. Okay. This was the Jer I knew. This was the boy from the beach house. This proved to myself that he was still the same boy and I was still the same girl. Now, nobody could take that away from us. Not anymore. And we're about to get into this because Jenny went back and shows Belly getting to college for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Belly does this a lot. It's like a core part of her personality. Do you think it's fantasizing? It's like...
Nostalgia?
It's not nostalgia. It's like... She paints this like picture in her head of how something's going to be. And then she finds all the evidence that points back to that. Jillian did a great job pulling all these out. But every time we're listening to the book and you hear her say something like, this was the chair I knew. This was a boy from the beach. This is the boy I love. This is the boy I always loved.
Right.
It's like, you're like, she says the same thing about Conrad in a different book. It's like, she has this like fictitious world that she wants for herself. And there's something about maybe it is nostalgia of like, oh, nothing's changed. The Lacey thing didn't matter. We can sweep it under the rug. Everything's
always...
still like pristine and perfect. And it's just, it's not, it's just a little bit.
But a lot of people, probably everyone have to sell themselves on things. If you're seeing cracks, if you're feeling like it's not as perfect as it could be, you find every little grain of positivity to sell yourself like,
right,
we're going in the right direction.
Right.
And, you know, that's the thing when you know someone from when you're super young.
Mm-hmm.
First impressions are huge. You know, that's the original idea you have.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. She says getting engaged and promising to be each other's forever made me feel like even with all the changes of the past few years, everything was all the same. So
I can feel that.
Yeah.
I could get in that headspace.
Yeah. It's allowing herself to move on from some of the cracks you said.
Because a lot of it's true. Like, if you look at how things go.
Like, objectively.
Well, like, you're a person,
uh-huh,
right? And you're in high school, and then things get a little bit crazy for some time. Emotions or hormones are flowing. You know, you're starting to experiment with things for the first time. You turn the age, drinking age, da da da. So I feel there's a certain innocence before, you know, like age 16, 15.
Okay, there is, but...
And then when all the craziness dies down, you find someone to spend the rest of your life together. Then it's like,
but
you get back to being boring again.
Yeah, but I think it's less of that and more of, she is just a very nostalgic person. And she is friends with Jeremiah. And when she found out about Lacey and the whole...
Right. At the end of the day, I think it's just like, he's still the good guy.
Exactly.
He's still a good guy.
Yes.
And
yes.
Like...
Yeah, like she thinks that... Like, because she even
the fact
she
that he wants this means he's a good guy.
Yeah, she says she doesn't like his frat boy stuff, and he has some quirks that kind of annoy her now that she's actually dating him. But when he quote unquote cheated or did whatever with Lacey, she was like, I don't feel like I know you anymore. Like, right. You're an entirely different person to me now. And I think that, yes, she was very hasty, and he was hasty even in proposing, and they just kind of jumped in. But now that the dust has settled a little bit, and he's, like, declaring it, and she's just kind of, like, get down from there. I think it's just a little bit of embarrassment on her part, but also, like, okay, glimpses of the old Jeremiah. Like, oh, maybe we're back now. We're good. We're just going to pretend that didn't happen. So, it's good and bad that Belly decided to tell Taylor first. I think she's just thinking she needs to tell somebody. And she's not immediately going to go tell anybody in the center nucleus to the family, right? So,
let's move forward. Taylor coming up.
Yeah. So then the next chapter is essentially when Belly tells Taylor.
When this chapter happened in the car, when we were listening, I was like, thank God for Taylor, because she keeps it.
She keeps it real.
She keeps it a buck.
Yeah.
And she's super entertaining.
Yeah. But even Belly, so self-awareness on Belly's part, she's like, I knew Taylor would think that we're crazy. She's like, I knew it. But she said that she knew she needed to tell Taylor first, even though Taylor and Annika were her two best friends. She said, I have to tell you this news in person. And Taylor immediately sits down at the coffee shop and is like, okay, so what happened? Are you back together? Are you broken up for good? And
it's like, no, the third option.
Yeah, the third option that no one saw coming, which was that she like puts out her hand and she's like, oh my God, you're engaged. I love Taylor because there's the initial like, oh my God, you're engaged moment. And then there's, but he cheated on you. Like that was just her immediate reaction. And Belly's answer to that is, we're starting over fresh. I really love him. And Taylor again says, yeah, but the timing is kind of suspect. Thoughts? I mean,
that's what anyone who is against it say the same thing.
Right. And that's what I love about how Taylor plays it, is she's not her mother, right? She's not like, oh, you're making a huge mistake. She's not going OD with it, but she's still calling a spade, like, hey, it's a little suspect. Like, have you really thought this through? The funny thing about that is she says,
it's an overcorrection.
Right. But she says, this is Jer we're talking about. He's the love of my life. I'm like,
yeah, that part was, to me, it was like,
is he though?
This fucking girl.
Right.
Like that, the stuff when she says that, that's what makes the story so hard.
But do you know what the description of Taylor after she says that?
What?
She just stared at me, her mouth in O. like,
bro, I've heard you say this before.
And not about this guy.
Right. That's like about his
brother. Taylor is saying the thing that everybody is eventually going to say and that everybody wants to say. It doesn't matter that it's Jeremiah. Like, if she wants to marry Jeremiah, fine. If she wants to move things forward and move in with Jeremiah, fine. But even Taylor's like, can't you at least wait until you finish college? Like isn't
just
that
logistically.
Right. Like you can be in a relationship and it can be serious and your mom can be thrilled and want you to marry that exact guy. But can we not wait until after college? And they're just like, oh, we don't see any reason to wait. Like,
okay. No, yeah, I was just,
it's like the tripling down that we talked about before. Anyway, this is probably my favorite Taylor quote, and I can see Rain Spencer delivering it. It's going to be an apocalypse, like dead bodies, like blood in the streets. And when I say blood, I mean your blood.
When she tells people.
When she tells people, specifically Laurel. She's like, did you tell Laurel? Did she flip her shit? And she said, she's going to go Terminator on his ass.
That's a good line.
Yeah. So, people who know Laurel,
I feel like these are the situations why they tell people to talk to the parents first. For these exact situations.
Why?
So you know, so you don't get the Terminator effect afterward.
Oh, you mean like asking for somebody's hand in marriage?
Right.
Oh, okay. Again, not to be a big old Conrad girly, but like, I just see Conrad going to Laurel and asking Laurel's permission to marry Belly or going to her dad. Like, I just see that.
It doesn't make it a better idea just because it's Conrad.
I know, but I'm saying, you're saying it's a good idea to do that, and I'm saying I could see Conrad's character doing that, but I, even if it's not in college, I don't
still say
see,
no.
I really don't see Jeremiah like taking the step above and beyond to go do that.
I probably agree with you.
You agree with
but
me?
It's, I don't, I still don't think that Laura, if it's Conrad, Laurel's not going to be like, do it. Sophomore year's going to be
I agree.
Dope.
Yeah. No, like, well, yeah, Laura's not going to let anyone marry her 19-year-old daughter who just finished her first year in college. Like, absolutely not. But anyway, so then they're talking about the wedding itself. And Belly is talking about how they're going to try to do it for really cheap. And that kind of like irks Taylor, I think. Because...
Right. It's like you wanted a pony there and you wanted birds to fly out of the cake and all this shit.
Birds to fly out of the cake.
Whatever. I remember it was a whole list of shit.
Yeah, you're exaggerating. A balloon drop, I think it was.
Balloon drop. She wanted to have
the heart, like a real human heart ice sculpture. And she's like, which, by the way, is disgusting, Belly. That's so funny. But that's the thing that I guess when you're growing up, like little girls talk about. And when your best friend is getting married, you don't want to hear that she's
doing
having,
it at
like,
the... Elvis Chapel?
Yeah, it basically sounds like a shotgun wedding for reasons nobody can really understand, and we're going to keep it cheap. Like, that sounds, again, problematic. But how do you feel about, do you feel like it fits into the Taylor character, or do you think it's against Taylor's character? That, like, she puts all these defenses up to say, like, Belly, really think through it, and are you really sure, and, like, don't cut corners. But then as soon as Belly says that she can be a bridesmaid, she doesn't care anymore. Let's have the wedding. I'll be the bridesmaid. Like,
she knew it was, I mean, she's wearing the ring, bro.
Yeah.
It's not going backward.
No. But like, it's kind of like, as soon as Taylor's asked to be the bridesmaid, then all of a sudden, like, okay, let's get married. Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, it's not like that. It's just like,
do you think it's selfish on Taylor's part?
No, not at all. Okay. You have to put up the defenses because that's how you really feel.
Of course.
But it's happening. So what are you going to do?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Do a pull of Laurel and not show up?
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that shit.
Spoiler alert. But.
Oops.
Oops.
We'll but. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah.
She's got to be there. Yeah. And if, like, Belly's really half-assing it, Taylor's about to take the reins and figure shit out.
Right. So. Taylor's reaction is very real. Then she goes into talking about how she plans on telling Annika. We get a little bit of, like, backstory into Annika and Belly's relationship.
Our neighbor.
Yeah.
Has the same name as Annika, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And then they also
like
have...
Like, last name, everything.
Well, they also have two other friends, Lynn and Shay.
Oh, and our dog's name is Shay.
Yeah, spelled differently.
Y'all have met her before through video.
Through video on the YouTube. Anyhow. So she goes and tells Annika, and she starts off by telling Annika that they can't live together. Which is kind of a big deal, because when you're trying to find roommates, like, that's the most obnoxious thing, when somebody drops out last minute and then you're paying that other piece of the rent, or you have to go find somebody really quick. So Annika's like, oh my God, what happened? Like, what's wrong? Like, why? And Belly, I guess, shows her the ring. Yes, I'm settling down. Jeremiah asked me to marry him and I said yes, and we're going to be living off campus together in an apartment.
Take
that. And we don't know Annika, right? So it's hard for me. I can imagine her in my head, but that means that there are 10,000 different Annikas going on right now, because
everyone's got a different one in their head.
Yeah. So
I've got the Annika in my head.
I hope they cast for an Annika, but I don't know. I can't imagine. Right. I can't imagine a college girl saying, "Shut the shit up." But
I can.
That's what she says. And
to go, I want to go on record say I can.
You can. Okay. Yeah.
Shut the shit up.
Shut the shit up. Maybe that's because you heard Lola narrate it.
Well, that was a fantastic delivery. I think I should audition.
Okay, go for it. But Annika says, oh, wow, that's crazy. Now, here's the thing. I think that Belly is actually using Taylor and Annika as a little bit of a sounding board, because I think Belly, in her right mind, also knows it's a little crazy. Because she straight up looks at Annika and says, do you think I'm making a huge mistake? I think if you say yes to something and then you go ask everybody if you're making a huge mistake, it's probably not that sound of a decision, and you should have made a pros and cons list before.
I mean, true that. But like, you go through life, whether it just be for 18 or 19 years, you've known, learned enough to know that getting married at 19 isn't the norm. It's just self-conscious.
Okay.
She's not going to change her mind.
I get it.
In her, in her life,
yeah,
the Fisher boys are the fucking top of the pyramid.
That's actually
the
true.
Top of the pyramid.
As like, problematic as that is, right. It's true.
Like, she would quit college if they asked them to. She would do whatever the fuck. Seriously.
I know.
If they were in a cult, she would join because the Fisher boys did.
Yeah.
That's the top of the pyramid. That is the most important thing. So she's just trying to, you know, protect her third, fourth, and fifth priorities.
Right. So then she helps. Oh, you like this part where Jenny describes, I guess, I was going to say Lola, but Belly, like, putting an old sock on her hand and, like, helping clean the dust bunnies under the bed.
It was good writing.
Good writing.
You can visualize that.
Yeah. And then she says goodbye to Annika. She walks back to her dorm. And remember, everything's done for the semester, so most people are gone. She's like, it was really quiet. There was no sound. And she was realizing it's like her entire life is going to be different starting from right now. That's the end of chapter 15. Yeah. Then we get to move-in day.
Like flashback city.
Flashback city. Yeah. So I guess the gist of this chapter is that
Belly made her friends.
There's a couple big moments in this chapter. So John and Laurel are dropping Belly off. And Jeremiah is actually being really nice and helpful and chivalrous. And he's like trying to impress Belly's dad by like helping to carry all the boxes up and stuff like that. And like letting John rest towards the end of it. So that was nice. It's a nice picture, right? To see both parents, even though they're divorced, and then Jeremiah there helping Belly move into college. There's we'll get to it in the other Conrad's episode, but there's a good, well, I guess we might not get to it because it's more about Luke than Jess, but when Rory is going to Yale, there's a really cute, like, Lorelai helping her move into college, and Luke helps. It's really cute. So
cool.
Yeah. But what else was important from that chapter? Oh, Belly says that Laurel gave her one piece of really important advice.
Don't just spend all your time with Jeremiah.
Yeah. Like she said that girls with boyfriends in
don't have
the same college experience, and I want you to have the full college.
That's the nice way of saying don't have a boyfriend in college.
Or don't let your relationship or your boyfriend rule your life. Like, that can't be your entire personality.
Right.
Good for Belly. She really tries. So, like, she tells Jeremiah, I actually feel bad for Belly. She tells Jeremiah, like, oh, I'll probably be busy with orientation and meeting all my new friends and stuff like that. And it just...
Well, again, you spend your first 18 years seeing these examples of college, and then you get there and you're like, all right, bring on the kegs and bring on the, you know...
Parties
and the bathtubs full of ice and
yeah. So Jillian Capel is her roommate, and it's actually the same thing that Laurel was saying. So Jillian has a boyfriend, quote unquote, in college, but not at the same college as her. So her hometown boyfriend, which is a big deal for high schoolers too, like when you're together and then you go off to different colleges and you're trying to make it work. So she actually ended up with a roommate who, for the most part, was staying in and always on her computer. And I don't know if it was Skype or Instant Messenger or whatever, but always talking to her boyfriend who was at a different school. So Jillian wasn't exactly what Belly was thinking about. But then she met this other girl who... What was it? Belly was like, she was feeling down on herself. She was like, another night. She's like, I'd been here for 4 days and I hadn't seen one party or one rager. And nobody had invited me to do anything. And like, we didn't order late night pizza and all this stuff. And then this girl pops her head into her room that she had met in the bathroom or something and like invites her to her room where there are like other girls there and they're playing a game.
Wasn't that nice? I felt so bad for Belly. It makes your heart melt.
I know. And I could see yeah. Lola playing that.
Well, you just don't want anyone to have to go through feeling like they're not part of the crowd or not feeling like they're
right.
Likeable.
Right. But that's kind of separate and distinct. So there's two like kind of like get to know you things that Belly does. The first is the RA. So like Did you ever have that when you got to college? Like the RA would like do a meet and greet so everyone could get to know each other and nobody was ever left out?
Let's just, my college is, you use the term college loosely. Went to community college.
Okay.
And we didn't stay in dorms.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So for those.
I've been to all, I went to all my friends' colleges though. So I'm
right. Yeah, but you didn't go to like the RA orientation. Okay. So our RA was super OD, but like just like wanted to organize things for us. And it's kind of lame, but same thing here. Like just to get everybody together and introduce everyone, it's kind of like they have these like icebreakers.
I've had these things at work, you know, when a whole bunch of sales training and this kind of fucking thing.
So the idea was bring one personal item that represents.
This is a good,
our best.
Good thing for the podcast. If we were going.
Yes. What's the one thing you would
bring? What's the one thing you'd bring?
You go first.
A basketball.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Okay.
But if it was basketball season, yes. If it was football season, probably football. If it was baseball season, probably baseball.
If you could bring one thing from me, what do you think I would bring?
That book that's in your hand right now. Or the first one.
Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah.
That's what I would bring?
Yes. Or my dog. But I don't know if that's allowed.
You would bring your dog?
I mean, then if you're going down that road, I would just bring you.
Oh, well, yeah. That's, yeah.
So if it's something that's not living and breathing, a basketball.
I would probably bring, yeah, I could probably bring this book, or I would bring something like Dallas Cowboys, or I would bring something.
You would bring this book.
Okay. All right, guys. All right, guys. Apparently,
based
this is
on
my personality trait now.
Based on if we're going strictly how much time is spent talking and thinking about
a thing.
There's a resounding winner.
Do you remember what Belly brought?
Her binoculars.
No. Just so you guys know, I was giving him hand signals and he went with binoculars.
Something with her eyes.
Her swim goggles.
Oh, her goggles, okay.
Because she loves swimming.
But I do remember somebody else brought something. Oh, someone brought a modeling book.
Yeah.
See?
That was Shay. Shay. Model.
That's why I remember, because I'm like my girl.
Yeah.
My dummy.
And then the girl who brought like a trophy or something like that from a soccer championship.
Okay.
So Belly was intrigued by her. Her name was Joy, and she thought that Joy was going to be her best friend. So I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, you're going to be my new best friend.
Right.
Like, you're going to be my new best friend. Like, we're going to be so tight. So she was thinking it was going to be Joy. So Joy is the one who then a couple days later, like, comes and tells Belly to go into her room where they have, what did she describe it as? Like, was it a Gatorade bottle?
Yeah.
It was a Gatorade bottle. It was like, yeah, she was like, but it didn't look like Gatorade inside. It was like gold colored. It was probably tequila. And Belly said she hadn't had tequila since her incident at the beach house. So they're playing a game. They're not playing Never Have I Ever. They're
playing I Have Never.
But they're playing I Have Never.
Which I didn't even know was the thing.
Yeah. So I mean, it's basically Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, it's basically.
So, shout out to season 1, Belly, who also, it's the same thing, right? Like, season 1, Belly plays Never Have I Ever, and it's the same thing. She hasn't had a lot of experiences. So every time somebody says something, she's just like, nope, not me either. And then it gets to her, and she has a very easy one that she doesn't want to say, which is that she's a virgin. She's never had sex.
Well, I think this is ripped, season 1 took from this.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Because at the... We all know season 1 of the TV show was basically, how can we make all 3 of these books in one series in case we don't get another second series?
Yeah, the full arc of it, and like some good little Easter eggs. But of course, the best part, when I say best, I mean the most hilarious part, is when somebody says, never have I ever hooked up with 2 people in the same family. And can you imagine Belly at that point, who is
hasn't
super
done
innocent,
anything yet.
Super innocent, like hasn't done anything yet. And she just like has to pick up this Gatorade bottle and drink.
Like, what? You fucking psycho? Are you kidding me?
So
shut the shit up.
Yeah, shut the shit up. So you dated brothers or a brother and a sister? coughing a little, I said, brothers, twins?
Basically.
At the same time, so realistic, because this is exactly what would happen, right? Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, now, Belly's the center of attention, and she's interesting to people.
Yeah.
And Joy says, that's kind of badass. Oh, my God. To be a fly on that wall. Can you imagine if Taylor was there? Because Taylor was there in the show, and she just kept looking at Belly like, ugh. And then she changes the subject.
Yeah. Like, that's...
You're like, okay, we're going to change the subject and go skinny dipping instead. But, yeah, so that's the story of how Annika became friends. And then it ends, again, it ends, you know, always circling back to the big bad elephant in the room. From now on, I'd only ever have one roommate again. Jeremiah, my soon-to-be husband. I just can't. I can't. Ugh.
Would you feel differently if it was Conrad?
No, she's 19 years old.
All right, I'm just making sure. I'm just putting that out there for the streets to hear.
Yeah, like, no, absolutely. Because there's no way for it. It would be him coming back, confessing his love, and asking.
Did anyone get married when you were in college? You remember any of that?
In college? No.
The only times I remember it happening was when someone was in the military.
I've known people who got married early, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I am thinking about this in particular.
Specific.
Yeah, this specifically, to Taylor Jewell's point, isn't the timing a little bit suspect? Basically, think about it this way. If Jeremiah didn't fuck up and they didn't have the fight and there was no Lacey, neither of these two would be considering marriage right now. Not Belly, not Jeremiah.
True. And with Thanksgiving on the brain, I just can't kind of stop thinking about Thanksgiving. How awkward the Thanksgiving.
Oh. Well, we already saw that play out.
Could break up the family forever.
We already saw it in season two when Jeremiah was like, oh, let me know.
Well, that was the opposite way.
I know, but now what's Conrad going to do? Be like,
right.
You said you weren't showing up when I was dating her, so I'm never showing up to Thanksgiving anymore now that you're marrying her. But I don't know. It's been 2 years, and I think they think that Conrad doesn't care. He's gotten over it. And they think that he's a flake. But I think that they're failing to realize that it's awkward as fuck for him, and that's why he's not coming back.
Preach.
Preach. Okay. What's chapter next? 17 is when Belly's dad comes to pick up her and Jeremiah. She's moving out of her dorm, and he's taking her back to Philly, I guess. Because the first year has ended. So basically at that point, like, she's saying goodbye to people, and John decides to take Belly and Jeremiah out to, I think it's lunch or maybe dinner. Oh, no. So they went to lunch at a steak restaurant nearby.
Ooh.
Yep. And again, this is just another thing that Jenny put in that is very realistic to relationships. Now, we'll talk about our experience with it when we were in a new relationship. But the fact that Jenny had the thought to put it in, it was just impressive to me. Because it's another one of those things that's like, you don't have to talk about it, but it does make you feel a certain way. And the fact that Belly doesn't actually voice it to Jeremiah and probably holds it against him in some sort of weird way is a red flag. So he gets to the restaurant.
We're here.
And it's a steak restaurant. It's for lunch.
Okay.
And Belly's first instinct is to order the New York strip because it was the cheaper of the cuts of steak on the menu. And we've been to a lot of steakhouses, right? Yes, so the way that it works at a steakhouse is the price is based on the cut of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah, she said, she being Belly, without thinking about it, without orders the ribeye. And Belly says it was the most expensive thing on the entire menu. It was a $38 steak. And Belly is not necessarily upset. Maybe she's upset.
You can understand.
I can understand. She's upset for two reasons. Number one, because she's like, okay, now I'm marrying him. So like, we have to get an apartment. We have to furnish this apartment. Like, he's a little bit frivolous with money. I know he grew up with money, but she's like, if we're really married, like, he can't just go spending money like this. Like, he has to be more considerate of money. Mm-hmm. And then she, like, makes some quip about no more spending money on dumb stuff like vintage Air Jordans and steak. This is in her head, but it's fine.
Well, I mean, so when you have a relationship where someone grew up with money and someone didn't, right. You get that. That's a normal thing to have happen.
Totally, totally normal. So, like, that's the first thing is that part. And then the second part is that she's kind of upset that he wasn't being considerate of her father.
Which is more important.
Which is more important, because she even goes to say, like, my dad wasn't poor, but he definitely wasn't rich either. Right. So it's like the lack of consideration and, like, the fact that she knows. Like, he's not doing it to be malicious, but it's just, like, it's so airheaded of him to just, like, look at a menu and be like, oh, yeah, I'll have that. Just because that's the thing that I want on the menu.
Right.
Without looking at the price. It reminded me of you mm-hmm. when we first started dating. And you had already met my parents, but
like, everyone's ordering a steak and I'm having a side salad. They're like, what's the matter with this guy?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So when Casey and I first started dating, we would go out to eat with my parents. And the thing that you also didn't know is, like, going out to eat in the Nguyen household is like a religious experience. Right.
They don't eat all day in preparation for this one glorious meal.
Right. So, like, we're the type of family, like, we always order appetizers. We don't usually order desserts. We will get big entrees. And if you can't finish it, you just kind of take it home. So, like, there's never anything weird or off about ordering something a little bit more expensive on the menu.
My family, our favorite part is the coffee afterward.
Right. So the meal isn't the entire deal. That rhymed. But I knew what you were doing, but my mom knew what you were doing too. Because, like, we'd order
from
the actual menu, and you'd look at the prices first. And I'm like,
it took me like 3 years to get out of that habit.
Yeah. So why did you're just trying to be nice? Or you're like almost being too considerate.
Too considerate. I mean, but I would also do that. I was definitely do it when your parents are around, but I would also do that. I wasn't used to ordering big, expensive things on the menu.
That's true.
I didn't want anyone to have to deal with it.
That's fair. But, like, yeah, he would order, like, a salad. And it wasn't always, like, a side salad, but, like, you'd order a salad.
Yeah. Like,
and then they'd come around and ask you if you wanted protein. And you would always think about whether you wanted protein. I'm like, of course you want protein. Otherwise, it's just lettuce. And then you'd, like, carefully look at the protein options, you know, like the salmon. And the shrimp are like
keep it under 25.
Are expensive.
Try and keep it under 25. So you don't want to stick out like a fucking.
I got you.
You know, like a Jeremiah.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay. So I'm glad you feel that way, but then also on the other hand, I don't think it's that big a deal, and I actually don't think that Jeremiah would have minded. But it's just another one of those things that, like, because we're getting the narration from Belly's perspective, we hear about all these little things that bug her about Jeremiah, but we never hear about whether or not she voices them.
Do we hear about what bugs Jeremiah about Belly?
No.
Well,
yeah.
Probably a lot of things there too.
Oh, I'm sure. Last chapter is chapter 18.
I don't even remember the last chapter.
So the last chapter is where she's now been home for nearly a week. She's working a part-time job at this restaurant called Bear's.
Big Bear.
Big Bear. Not like a bear, like roar.
Bear like the paint.
Bear spelled like the paint, yes. And Steven's home too, so they're fighting over the state of the bathroom. She thought that it'd be a little bit weird, and I think it's a little bit weird too, like when you have your own independence for the first time and then you go back home and you're living at home for the summer, so you're just kind of like under the same house rules and you kind of fall back into place. She said she fell back into her old routine pretty much right away, but then Jeremiah and Belly are talking on the phone and they're actually planning out the wedding and they're like making negotiations for the wedding. So my first question to you mm-hmm. is that when Belly and Taylor were talking before, Belly had always wanted a carrot cake for her wedding. Weird or not weird?
You ever had carrot cake?
Yes, I love carrot cake.
Okay, so it's good, but I guess it's not like the resounding favorite.
Yeah.
So it might not be as appealing to everyone.
Right.
But if you're not a people pleaser, hey.
Yeah. So Belly says that Jeremiah was pretty much go with the flow on everything she had decided for the wedding, but he pushed back on the cake. So she wanted the carrot cake, and he said, I want a chocolate cake with raspberry filling.
Hmm. That sounds like some Hawaiian pizza.
What, that the guy who likes Hawaiian pizza or pineapple
wants on chocolate cake with raspberry filling?
It's definitely a style quirk.
Yeah.
But, okay, listen to this, though, because there's a lot of comments on this, and I want your opinion. They agree on maybe one layer can be carrot and one can be chocolate. And then he says a chocolate raspberry carrot cake sounds kind of complicated flavor profile-wise, but that's fine. Let's do it. So I'm essentially thinking it's a two-tier cake.
Mm-hmm.
Where one tier is one flavor and the other tier is the other flavor,
mm-hmm.
right? Not that they're actually doing a half carrot cake, half chocolate raspberry cake.
Two tier.
So somebody said, do you think this is a metaphor or foreshadowing that two people who are complete opposites and don't really belong together are trying to force themselves together? Because the flavor profiles don't match. They don't exactly go together, but they don't care. They just kind of mash it together and make it work.
I mean, yeah, I do think the flavor I think Belly and Jeremiah's flavor profiles do go together. Like, they are very...
As people?
Yeah, they're very similar flavor, I would say. But, sure, loose metaphor. Loose metaphor.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things like that. They make a point to show their differences in everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of that is just showing how, just like the minutiae of relationships. Like, they have all this stuff in common to start, and then the deeper you get, the more differences you find.
Okay.
If it would be with anyone.
Okay.
It would be with anyone.
Yeah. Now, our wedding cake, we also had different flavors, but I feel like the flavors went together a little bit better than carrot cake. And those are just two, like, very stark contrasting things. It's not like one layer is chocolate, one layer is vanilla, yeah, one layer is coconut. It's like, we're going to have red velvet with lemon drop with carrot cake. Like, it's all different. But anyway, that's what they agreed to. And they were talking about how wedding cakes are really expensive. Belly was saying maybe Taylor's mom, who's a really awesome baker, can make our cakes for us. And then that goes into a conversation about how Belly is working her ass off at this restaurant. She's kind of like doing the math in her head and counting her tips for the night and trying to figure out how much money she'll be able to save since they have this wedding coming up. And this is a line that people who wrote in find a little bit problematic. Jeremiah had been silent on the other line. Then he finally said, I don't know if you should keep working at Bears. She says, what are you talking about? We need the money. He said, yeah, but I have the money my mom left me. We can just use that for the wedding. I don't like you having to work so hard. She says, but you're working too. He says, I'm an intern. It's a bullshit job. I'm not working half as hard as you are for this wedding. I just sit around in an office and you're busting your ass working double shift at Bears. It doesn't feel right.
I think it's just him projecting his, like, it happens with us sometimes. I'm like, when I'll come home from work and you're open your computer up and, like, within like the 10 minutes we have nothing to do, you're banging out work. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, hon, you're making me feel bad. I feel like I should go get my computer and start doing something.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is on a grander scale of, like, he is self-conscious that he's not
participating.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think that it's like he doesn't want her to, like, I get it from the example you just gave where, like, he wants to feel like he's participating, which is great. And then some people read it, Belly reads it as, oh, he cares about my well-being and he doesn't want me to have to work.
No.
Okay. I agree. That's how Belly reads it, but I don't think it comes off that way. It's not supposed to. Then there's this other thing of, like, he wants to say that he had financial stake in the wedding itself, which is a little, like, possessive, like, oh, I paid for this.
Oh, his mom, her mom.
His, yeah. So he spins that around to say, like, well, my mom would have wanted to participate in the wedding, so, like, this is the way to let her participate. But it's still weird. He's just like, no, let's just fuck it. Like, use my trust money.
But isn't there, like, some, like, general rule on weddings? Like, whose parents pay for it or some shit like that?
Traditionally, the bride's parents pay for it.
Well, there we go. This is kind of a interesting dichotomy with the steak conversation. Because now Jeremiah is easing the burden of the Conklins by however much, $10,000. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's throwing it's.
He's not making them feel guilty about it.
But he didn't make the money. It's just money that he's, again, frivolously spending.
Well, that's also true. I mean,
he didn't earn it. He's just like, no, this is the easy way out. Like, let's just take my mom's money that I got.
See, that's true.
It's not thinking about, like, the money.
It can go a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Like, it is him being short-sighted.
Well, like, it's about to happen in the next set of chapters where even Laurel's like, where the hell did he get the money for the ring? And she's like, his dad's credit card? It's like, his dad, who he didn't ask to put $2,000 onto a credit card, decided to just swipe the credit card and propose to you, and now you're walking around with this fucking ring?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
I don't know how much money they have. Like, the Fisher's money situation is a little bit...
I don't know.
Like, is this money his mom left him?
Yes.
The trust money that they refer... That they're talking about buying the house back in season 2?
I don't know. Two separate and distinct things.
But that's a lot of bread that they got in the trust.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the wedding is a drop in the bucket.
Okay, but that's still...
Belly. The house, let's not forget, probably $8 million. And they were about to just...
I know, but she's like, Belly, we can just use the money my mom gave me. Okay. Anyway, it gets a little bit weird because...
Fisher's a rich.
Okay, but later on, we'll get there, but when they're shopping around for apartments,
mm-hmm.
He wants to live in a shithole. And she wants to spring for the nicer place. And because his credit is so bad, or he has zero credit, they can't get the nicer apartment.
Jer's out here trying to...
And when it came to getting the nice apartment versus getting the shithole, he wasn't willing to throw down money on that.
No.
So it's weird. It's a little bit weird. Anyway.
Are you jumping ahead?
I jumped ahead a little bit. In things that we'll talk about.
Spoiler alert.
But the way that the chapter ends is... This is the night before they're supposed to leave tomorrow morning. They're separate. So Jeremiah is at his house. Belly's obviously the Conklins. And they're all going to drive to Cousins tomorrow morning for Susanna's garden ceremony. So Belly and Jeremiah are saying goodnight. And it ends with... them talking about if they're nervous telling everybody. She said, I tried not to think about it. At Bears, I focus all my energy on delivering bread baskets and refilling drinks and cutting slices of the cheesecake. Been working double shifts. I hadn't worn my engagement ring at all since I'd been home. I only put it on at night in my room. And she said, I'm scared, but I'll be relieved to finally have it out in the open. I hate keeping things for my mom. Then she said, I hesitated before asking, are you driving up with just your dad, or what's the deal with Conrad? I have no clue. I haven't talked to him. I think he's flying in tomorrow. We'll see if he even shows. I wasn't sure if it was disappointment I was feeling or relief. It was probably both. I doubt he'll come, I said. You never know with Con. Might come, he might not. He added, don't forget to bring your ring. Weird that right after they're talking about whether or not Conrad's going to be there, he's like, oh, and don't forget to bring your ring.
I wouldn't read into it.
Just a little. It's not like in a bad way, like he's possessing her. It's kind of like, I won. Hey, older brother, I won. She's mine.
Okay, I'll buy that.
But then chapter ends with, then we said goodnight. It was a long time before I could fall asleep. I think I was afraid. Afraid that he was coming and afraid that he wasn't. Which I get.
Yeah, you want to knock them all out in one shot.
Exactly.
You don't want to keep that. Lots of ball hanging out there.
How bad is it if he doesn't come and then everybody else finds out and he finds out...
Through a text message
from somebody, from Steven. I mean, like, bro.
Bro.
You gotta hear this. Or that he doesn't come because he's still uncomfortable. Like, I think that Belly and Jeremiah seem to think that if Conrad shows up, he's okay with everything and he's moved on.
Yeah, it'd be a good way for him to never come back to the East Coast again.
Yeah, right. So it's either he is not coming, in which case it's like, well, fuck it. Fuck worrying about him. We're doing this either way. But then it's like, if he does come, then they can think, oh, he's cool. He's okay with it now. He's with the family. Like, he'll be happy for us. And ironically, none of that is true.
What are some of the emails saying? I see you got some highlighted stuff over there. Some highlight stuff.
Yeah. So you want me to read through some stuff?
Give me, yeah, give me one line of highlight.
I'll give you a couple of different things. Belly's idea to compromise on the wedding cake flavor is so hilarious to me. She's not really offering a compromise, which is finding a cake that they both like. She's simply mushing together two flavors and trying to force it to work. Kind of symbolic of how she deals with all of their differences.
I mean, I agree. A compromise would be the best option.
Right.
Like, it's carrot cake and chocolate with raspberry are fucking shit right. options for wedding cakes.
You go into a bakery that sells cake by the slice.
Yeah.
And you're getting your own dessert. You can choose whatever slice of cake you want. But when it's your wedding, you just have to pick something.
For everyone will enjoy.
Pick something neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Jer's suggestion of Belly quitting herself.
It also is them being young and clueless about
weddings,
about what you do in social situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Jer's suggestion of Belly quitting her summer job is outrageous. It shows his lack of respect for hard work. Belly wants to do it on her own merit.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
so here's a question that somebody asked.
Did you notice he calls Belly dude? What the fuck? I don't think my husband's ever called me dude.
Well, you know when that happens, it's when he tells her to not work and she says, does this have something to do with like me being a woman and you being a man and blah blah blah, and he's like, no dude, I just blah 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 blah.
It's funny,
but it's also like,
anytime you've called me dude, you apologize if you called me dude.
Yeah,
like, sorry for calling you dude.
I'm like, dude, sorry
for calling you dude.
But because it's just very, it's taking it a step out of the relationship and being a friend.
It's funny.
Right. Let's see. Do you think that current fans who are Team Jeremiah for the show think that the third book is convoluted because of the frat guy archetype? Do you think that people think that because after Susanna's death, Jer is going to mature more? Or do you think that that personality is supposed to represent more of a permanent nature like in the books?
I think it's coming.
That he's going to mature more.
Well, no, I think he's going to... You don't think he's going to be the frat guy in season 3?
I think... See, that's the thing, is I think that that's the problem with archetype characters in general. Like, because in like, the 90s, which we grew up in the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were, like, jocks, and jocks were shitty, or jocks were popular.
Right.
And the frat guy archetype is, like, that it's supposed to be a negative thing. But I don't really have a problem with frat guys. Now, if you are defining a frat guy inside of that stereotypical, then yes, it's problematic because it's a negative. But now it
can be multiple things.
It's a negative connotation, like, but I don't think all frat guys are bad.
Like, tattoos aren't mean you're, like, bad news.
Exactly. Yeah. So, now, I think that when Jenny made Jeremiah a frat boy and Taylor a frat girl.
Yeah, it was going for something.
It was going for something. And the fact that Belly went along with it, but always had comment, like snidey remarks about it, it was meant to say something.
And just like saying, Conrad being in pre-med doesn't mean he's the savior of the world.
Right, right. So a lot of people are afraid that if he ends up being a frat boy, then he wouldn't have shown any growth. That like season 1, Jeremiah, when you're 17 years old and you're hot and all the girls like you and you're rich and you're running around on the beach at a country club as the lifeguard of a country club. And he's very gregarious, right? And like very nice guy. That's totally and completely fine. But I think the fans of Jeremiah are understanding who he are as a character, and they like that he's nice, and they like that he's sweet, and they like that he's nice and treats Belly right, and he cares about her. But I think they're hoping that he can grow out of that, not that having experienced Susanna's death is a frat boy in college.
All right, let's wrap this baby up.
Okay.
That was chapters 13 through 18.
Yes.
The next round of chapters will be 19 through 25. 24.
Now, let me double check that because I think there's going to be some meat on the bone.
Oh, dang.
This next one. So,
and we'll have another Conrad's episode for y'all in between then.
Yeah, I think we're going to do Just Mariana.
Okay.
Of the Gilmore Girls.
The GGs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you guys have to write in and let me know. So in Gilmore Girls, there's Jess. He's the Conrad.
He's your Conrad.
He is the Conrad because he's the one that I ship. But then there's Logan and then there's Dean. So I kind of want to know, like, do you want the comparison against Dean or against Logan? Because I know there are a lot of Logan girlies out there.
At Thanksgiving, anyway, my mom said she ships Swelsey. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I was like, I didn't know you shipped.
And she used the word ship.
I'm like, I Vicky taught me that word. I can't believe you're saying that word.
At our Thanksgiving dinner table. Yeah. It's great. All right. So chapter 19 is very quick. It's like one page chapter. And then chapter 20, guys, is Chris Briney entering the chat, narrating. So that's a Conrad chapter. That's a very quick chapter too. 21 is a longer chapter. 22 is a little bit longer. 23 is quick. 24 is quick. All right, I think that we have to go through 26. So we're going to go chapter 19 through chapter 26. So stop at chapter 27.
That's a longer than usual.
It is a little bit longer. But
old Teach is ramping up the homework here.
Sorry, everyone. We know how long we're going to keep going on these mini series and bonus episodes. We are going to do a bonus episode relatively soon here where we're going to go through season one, episode one, the original script. Yeah. We'll read some parts of it. We'll tell you guys what is different, what made it to screen, what didn't make it to screen, and some of the side notes that Jenny and the writers had on here, which is amazing. In the meantime, we haven't gotten any word on when they're going to start production, but we do know that filming in Wilmington has resumed, at least for the Outer Banks. So hopefully the TSITP crew for season three can get down there. And the Screen Actors Guild came to an agreement. A new trailer for Mean Girls with Chris Briney is out. Lola's out there at every fashion show doing her thing. Gavin's new movie about that female wrestler is coming out. We don't have a date for that yet, but we'll let you know when that comes out. And I finished reading, by reading I mean listening to Influencer, which was really, really good. And I think I commented on Chris Briney's post on his Instagram about it, where I was like, really great job being creepy, bro. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.